tribes of Judah, and that he's going to visit them because of it. We're not going to read it all. It's one of those deep things. You can read it in your own time. But one of the things he's dealing with is ignoring his voice, ignoring his ways. One of the things that he picks up on also, which is something we spoke of yesterday, you know, in verse 13 and 14, the Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. Verse 14, the Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people, that's the leaders, the elders, and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind their faces of the poor, says the Lord of hosts. See, the same sins were here then, where those people, you know, those who were supposed to be leaders and shepherds and overseers were actually robbing the sheep, fleecing the sheep, not feeding the sheep. They were living in grandeur, yet taking the two mites off the poor. And so we had the whole thing of living in sin. And those who were over them being rebellious and treating the poor badly. So there is this declaration of judgment and calamities in this period of Scripture that's coming because of those sins. But the two verses that I were really burning on my heart, and I've only given you that as a preamble, because without that preamble, you wouldn't kind of get these two verses. Two verses have to mean something. It's where the verse is. And verse 10 and 11, because of the impending judgment, because of what's going to come, he says this to Isaiah. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they will eat the fruit of their doings. But next verse. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands will be given him. I look at this verse. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. This is a deep thing, something we can't just take on the face value. We need to look at what Scripture says here. We can trust God that his word is always sure and right and true. Therefore, the prophet here could very confidently say, because the Lord had given him this word, say to the righteous, it will be well with you. No matter what happens, no matter what judgment comes, no matter the calamities that come, and then no matter what trials come, say to the righteous, it shall be well with you. But to the wicked, woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him. Now when you look at this, it doesn't always look like it all of the time, does it? But at the end of the day, the word of God is always right. Now, we just flick a little bit to Ecclesiastes, not a book that's visited often, but chapter 8. There's a reason why we don't take notice of this warning, but I know that God is trying to give us this warning. And Ecclesiastes chapter 8 gives us a bit of a clue in verse 10, 11, and 12. No, sorry, 11, 12, 13. Verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 8, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You see, what it's saying is, because the consequence of sin doesn't come quickly, a man thinks he gets away with it so he can carry on with it. You see, if you went out tomorrow and committed a sin, and 5 minutes later, you got a smack in the back of the head or instant judgment, like you did when you were parents, you know, when you put your elbows on the table and you get a smack. Don't do that. You know, don't do this. We learn, because as soon as we do something wrong, there's this instant cost to us administered by our parents, or that used to be the case. It doesn't appear to be the case these days, but it was when I was little for sure. And so the judgment on my misbehavior was executed immediately. But in the scriptures here, because the sentence against evil is not executed speedily, then actually the sons of their hearts, well, are getting away with it. So they can sow mischief, they can do wrong for a long period of time and appear to get away with it. And in life, how easy it is for us to have a walk that is not pleasing to God. That we have a walk that's not in righteousness and not in good, which will fear before him, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. You know, we're hearing something of God, isn't it? Because God's judgment doesn't come instantly at a time. Sometimes it was generations that sinned before the cost came. But the cost does come. And what we find in the Word of God is that as a man lives his life, he may get away with things for a certain amount of time, but there comes a day when that cost visits him. Because sin has a consequence. Sin always has a consequence. Sin within the church has a consequence. Sin within a nation has a consequence. And God visits it. And it's at that time the judgment comes that we can safely know that God can say and will say, "Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with him. But woe unto the wicked, for it will be ill with him." Now, we can look at, you know, people will take this up with me, I'm sure, and they say, "Well, hang on a minute, David, a lot of suffering went on with these saints." Of course, it's knowing what is well and knowing what is ill. You think of Noah, if you read in Genesis, you can read of Noah, who actually preached the knowledge of God and the awareness of God for 100 years, didn't he? And he was mocked. And he was ridiculed for 100 years. Well, it didn't look like it was going well with him, did it? Nor did it look like it was going ill with all the people who mocked him. He was isolated. He was alone. He was cast out of society. He was a man rejected for God's sake. It didn't appear that it was well with him at all. Nor did it appear ill to those who laughed at him over the generation. But the time come when God always fulfills his word and he says, "Woe unto the wicked, for it shall be ill with you. But say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you." And the floods came, and everything that drew breath perished. Everything that drew breath perished. And none was saved save Noah and his family that were with him. Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you. Now you can read in Daniel chapter 3, I think it is, isn't it, of three men called Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And they'd built this great image. But these three righteous boys would not bow before this image of Nebuchadnezzar. A decree was made that whoever did not bow before this image would be cast into a furnace of fire. Well, they wouldn't bow. And they were taken, and surely many would say, "Whoa, say unto the righteous, it shall be well with them. These guys are going to get thrown into a furnace of fire." And the accusers were quite happy to throw them in. But then as the king visits the furnace, did we not cast three men into that furnace? How is it that I see the form of a fourth walking amongst them? One who has the form of the Son of God. And he calls in Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. "The God that is delivering you from, come out here." And they stepped out. They were neither burned nor did they smell of smoke. "Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you." It didn't appear it was going to be well. at the moment they were cast into the furnace. But the word of God says, say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you. But unto the wicked, it shall be ill with you. Where are their accusers? Cast them into this furnace. But there was no God to save them. Say to the wicked, it shall be ill with them. And just after a few chapters, Daniel 6. Darius signed a decree that if anyone prayed to any other god for a 30-day period, he would be thrown to the lions. And yet Daniel bowed his knee to the living God. It didn't look well with him. Because he was thrown to the lions, many could have said, well, it doesn't look too well for him. Till the king visited the following day. Daniel, has your God whom you serve been able to deliver you? Yes, indeed, my God has closed the mouths of the lions. And Daniel walked free. Why? Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you. It shall be well with you. Let's not misinterpret this. Does it say that he will not be thrown to the lions? No. Does it not say that sometimes it's going to feel like we're going to get thrown into the furnace? No. What is the end of it? It shall be well with you. And the accusers, bring those who were his accusers. Well, they were cast into the lion's den and they were eaten. Woe unto the wicked, for it shall be ill with you. Now, I can give you a list. We've spoken about it a lot this weekend, but I think of the Apostle Paul, who then is getting beaten 5 times to death nearly with whips. Well, he must be thinking, he will have known well this verse. Say unto the righteous, it will be well with you. Whilst the stripes are going on his back. He knew the verse that said it shall be well with you when he was beaten with rods. He knew the verse that said it shall be well with you when he spent 3 nights in the deep. When he was rejected. When no one stood with him. Yet that verse hovered over him. Yet it shall be well with you. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with you. And when Paul at that stage was stoned and left for dead, the disciples gathered round him. He rose up and walked off, because it shall be well with him. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with you. You see, the judgment comes. But maybe we could just look at a little bit of verse of the end of the matter. In 2 Timothy, this is the end of the life of Paul. This is Paul the aged. They'd been trying to kill him for how long? In 2 Timothy, verse 6, chapter 4. But watch thou in all things. So that's verse 5, isn't it? Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now this is Paul the aged. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The righteous judge shall give me that day. Laid up for me is a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous, say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you. Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with him. Paul had run the race. He'd finished the faith. He actually bore in his own body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. But upon him was a promise, an eternal promise, an irrefutable promise. Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with him. And on that day, it was well and truly well with him. But he goes on to say, and not me only, but to all them that love his appearing. And I suppose there would be those amongst us who say, well, hang on a minute. What about Stephen? What about Acts chapter 7? How well did it go for him? Well, he stood before them all, bold, and said, you stiff-necked, stubborn people, how long can you resist the Holy Spirit? Your fathers, name me one of the prophets your fathers didn't kill. You stubborn, stiff-necked people. Oh, how they reached for the stones with anger. How they threw the stones at him in anger. But Stephen saw the Son of the Most High God standing by the throne of the Father. His face shone and he fell asleep. Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with him, because that is well. That end is well. The false prophets today that promise you the utopia of riches within this world do not know what it is for it to be well with you. But these men know the end of it. You see, it is not about this life. When Jesus said, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Therefore, I say to you, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. But after his death and resurrection, that same thing goes out to his people. Ye are not from beneath. Ye are from above. Therefore, seek those things that are above, not those things that are beneath. It's not about this life. It's about eternity. And because of that, I can say to you, say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. But woe unto the wicked, for it shall be ill with him. In Psalm 1, there's a lot in Psalm 1, isn't it? Many people's favourite psalm. Oh, blessed is the man that walks in the counsel, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it would be remiss of me to spend too much time saying to the righteous, it shall be well with him, and not spend a moment or two just to remind us of the woe unto the wicked, for it shall be ill with him. The end of the psalm there, verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Woe unto them! It shall be ill with them. Now equally, as the argument we had before, it doesn't look like it is ill. The mockers of Noah, for 100 years, it did not appear that it was going to be ill with them. But the end of the matter was that it was ill with them. And we can read of all the other stories there, of Daniel's accusers, and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego's accusers, that all of the time they sought the gain, what was the end of the matter? Was woe unto the wicked, for it shall be ill with him. And I read in Esther of a man called Mordecai, seeking the righteousness of God, and a man called Haman that was jealous of him and wanted to finish with him. And Haman was so enraged I plotted against him and built the gallows on which to hang Mordecai. But he was unaware of a principle of God. And the gallows that were built for Mordecai say unto the righteous, it shall be well with him. But woe unto the wicked, for it shall be ill with you. And those gallows for Mordecai ended up hanging Haman. It didn't look like it was going to be when he was winning the battles, when he was gaining favour, when he was gaining the king's approvals. Oh, it looked well with him. But it's the end of the matter. What the gospel shows us is what is the end of the matter. And when judgments come, several things will happen. Christians are about to be, I believe in my heart, there is a time of persecution coming where it will appear that you and I might have a cost to stand with what we believe. If we start to preach this true gospel of Jesus Christ, not the buttered up, wide-gated, wide way that we hear today, there's no cost in that. If we go through this narrow gate and we walk this narrow way, there will be a cost. And you and I will need to know the voice of God that comes out and says, "Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with him. But woe unto the wicked, for it shall be ill with him." Now we can also read of Ahab and Jezebel. We can take this as far as we want to. And we could pick many examples. But when Ahab was living a life of squander and of sin and of wickedness, and when Jezebel was living a life of wickedness and actually executing the prophets of God and slaughtering them and making havoc of God's people, who could say that it was ill with them? They were king and queen. They had wealth above measure. They had everything the world desires. They seemed to have every power over God's people. They were slaughtering the prophets. But the word of God says, "Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him." And the prophet spoke, "The dogs shall eat your flesh in the streets and lick your blood." And the time came when they threw Ahab was slain in battle. And Jezebel thrown from a window. And when the man said, "Go and bury them properly," there was nothing left but a bit of bone. Therefore fulfilled what the prophet spoke. The blood would be licked and the flesh eaten by the dogs. Woe unto the wicked, for it shall be ill with him. This psalm: therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, because it's going to be ill with them. One of the things that I just kept going in my heart before this afternoon is the Lord said, I just couldn't get it out of my heart. I don't know what the relevance of today is, but it's been spoken forth. There's a purpose in it. There's a reason in it. But I know that God is saying to the righteous, it will be well with you. And quite often it comes as it is well with you in life also, at the time, at the end of it. And it'll be well with you in death. And to the righteous, it'll be well with you in judgment. And it'll be well with you in eternity. For an age and an age and an age. And for every age to eternity. But to the wicked, we will need to remember. And we'll need to love them. And we'll need to try and win them. Because we know what awaits them. Because for the wicked, it will be ill with them in life at some stage. And it will be ill with them at death. For they will go to the point of death with fear. They will go to death in torment. They will go to death because a moment will come when they know what awaits. It will be ill with them at death. And then it will be ill with them in the judgment. Before the judgment seat of Jesus, it will be ill with them. And following that judgment, it will be ill with them eternally, forever and forever. And that door will never open again, nor that gulf ever bridged. Surely we can say, as the word of God says, and agree with him, "Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with him. Say unto the wicked, woe unto them, it shall be ill with you." When we serve God in these days, we're going to have a choice. The narrow gospel that we have heard over this weekend, these words that are severe to us, these words that are challenging to us, And these words, I hope, that are changing us, will bring about its own costs in time, and its own persecutions, and its own isolations. Many of us may have experienced that amongst our family, amongst our friends. How easy it is to choose the broad way that's easy, and a broad gate to avoid those things. But we need to know on that road, it will be ill with us. But when we choose this narrow way, His way, the right way, when we choose His gospel, the right gospel, the truth, when we see what the church system of man does as opposed to the true church of Jesus Christ, when we hold fast to these truths and it costs us, we need to know that God will say to us, say unto the righteous, it will be well with him. Amen. Now the Lord revealed to us whatever it is He would have us understand from that word. I've just shared my heart with you.